America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bedroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Really great weekend of college football. We will give some of our big thoughts from that when we come back during the next segment. Before we do that, let's get into the list. Carl Anthony Towns. Yes, so this broke, I feel like Friday night. I feel like this was right in the middle of your Hurricanes game that was getting absolutely nuts, back and forth. And then I see we get the tweet that indeed Carl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle have been traded. But it's also like the classic that happens on a Friday night during like a massive football week, and I feel like it got completely lost. So I wanted to get your thoughts heard on this one as well. So the Knicks and the Timberwolves are finalizing a blockbuster trade that involves Julius Randle and Carl Anthony Towns, sources confirmed to ESPN on Friday night. The deal would see Randle and Dante DiVincenzo wind up in Minnesota and Towns in New York. The Knicks are set to add a center in Towns to shore up their biggest weakness, and Minnesota is adding shooting and versatility in its quest to exceed last season's run to the Western Conference Finals. Minnesota will also receive a 2025 top 13 first round pick, or top 13 protected first round pick from New York via the Pistons. So as long as the Knicks don't have the world's worst injury luck, you're getting an additional first round pick. The Hornets also got involved to help the deal financially. So what did you make of it? Because I feel like this has kind of been one of those issues that's been on the surface for the Timberwolves for a while, which is what are they going to do about Towns? You've added Gobert. Like what is the fit? Are they going to commit to him being the guy? So you end up finally getting rid of him. Also, it felt like the same thing with the Knicks and Randle, where Randle's been a good player for them, but like you didn't really know about fit. How did you kind of see how? What do you think? What do you think of each team after the deal?
I think both teams are still in good position. I think both teams do have a roster to make a deep run in their divisions, and like you just alluded to, Minnesota, I think, loves Carl Anthony Towns. People forget how much they had to give up to get Gobert.
Yeah.
So they don't have a lot of draft picks. They don't have certain stuff, but they do want to continue to improve. I like it from Minnesota's standpoint because, you know, you got 1 year with Julius Randle. A lot of people, when one of the big men went down, it was times throughout the year, remember this name, and they don't want him to go to, you know, back to free agent. A lot of people are very high on Naz Reid. He's a big part of their team. He was even more productive than them guys at times last year. And I think they just show you the belief they got in Anthony Edwards. They want to get everybody out the way. they do want more perimeter scoring. That's why they have pick up. Pronounce his last name.
Dante DiVincenzo. And to me, that was a big pickup, because part of the reason why they were so disappointing in the Western Conference Finals is Dallas was basically able to say, like, we're going to make you beat us from the outside. And they had a historically bad shooting performance.
Nobody else could do nothing. I think Mike Conley was banged up certain games. So, and him, and they have a really exciting draft pick with Robert Dillingham. You have more scoring. Now on New York side, I think you're really starting to match up with Boston really good. Now Boston is why I think they made their trade, because you will put, because they go Porzingis at center, and you can put Carl.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I'm gonna be real with you. Carl is not great at center. Because he's not the most physical. He get bumped around sometimes at center, so he do enjoy the four more. That's why they went and got Gobert. You remember they put so much into it, and that's why we're trying to get Edie, because we don't want Jared. And that's why AD needs a center. So it would be great against Boston, but then against the Sixers and certain people, you know.
No, I mean, I think to me it was kind of, I don't know if it necessarily makes either team better, but I think it probably makes Minnesota's future better, because you don't have to sit there and juggle this. Are we really going to give Kat? Are we really going to give him the max? Are we, you know, how? To me, this solidifies Anthony Edwards is your guy, and then you're surrounding him with all the other pieces, rather than having to have two max options. And like that's always, I feel like, the issue with Towns is he's obviously a very good player, but it's like, is he worth whatever you're going to pay? And so this is that opportunity to finally answer that question and get away from that. And, you know, it certainly makes them, I think it makes them more multiple on offense, but they are also asking a lot of the young guys that, like, they're kind of in the same, they're in the position that Denver was in last year, where while they're not depending entirely on rookies, but they're depending like on second year guys to really step up and make them better. But I don't know. To me, like, this was just kind of both teams kind of wanted to get off their big guy, and this was the way to do it.
No, you're right on that, Jeff. The thing about New York, though, is like, how long term is that with them? Because New York already has some expensive contracts, so I'm not even sure they have more expensive contracts than Golden State. You know, a kid that played for me that we raised throughout our program, they gave OG Andy over 200 and something million this summer. Now, Brunson took a pay cut for them that's supposed to re-up in a couple of years. Mikal Bridges make over 100. So, you know, so they have a pretty hefty, you know, salary they self. So I don't know if this win right now, and if you win a championship, they treat it like the Warriors and stuff, we'll pay everybody. Or, you know, Mitchell Robinson pretty good too, but, you know, the Knicks do have some hefty current salary cap guys.
All right, so for this season, OG's their highest paid guy.
Yep, he just signed.
They haven't done the, I need the Towns contract, because they, because it hasn't been finalized. And I think that was the other thing. Like, I guess because it hasn't been finalized, maybe they weren't talking about it as much and people thought they were avoiding it. So Towns will become their highest paid guy.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money.
And his deal is guaranteed through the next three seasons, and then it's a player option in year four.
They got to be over the luxury taxes just with him and OG. I know Brunson took the pay cut, but he's still making, what, like 30 or 25? Then Mikal Bridges make how much a year?
Brunson's contract this year, I guess this is the last year of the previous deal.
With Dallas.
So, yeah.
He wasn't making that money.
Well, it's 24.9. No, this is the last year of the deal when he signed with the Knicks.
New York. Okay.
So, and then next year it kicks into 34, 37, 40. Then it's a player option. But that year where he, the year where he has the player option, it will be his 10 service years. And so he can move up into that other category.
New deal is going
right.
to be crazy.
So, I mean,
what
he did like? Take a pay cut, but he also, he quote-unquote took a pay cut, but he did leave himself the room to get paid on the 10-year. Bridges is 23.3 this year and 24.9 next year.
So that's four people making $20+ million. That most
correct.
Rosters.
And Josh
like
Hart's
it.
Josh Hart's at 18, like a shade under 18 or a shade over 18. So they're gonna have their highest paid guy will be Towns, then it'll be OG Brunson Bridges.
So I don't know why New York, you know, like I said, because they're still, because you know they was talking about what they wanted to pay Rondo, but you finna pay Carl for 3 years if you keep him, so you're in the same boat with them. So I like you say, people look like they just wanted. I want a new partner, but it's just something different about this one.
Yeah, it's like I just kind of want a new center.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure like if it's overall it's a better one, but then there's also the reality. It's like, is this gonna force Towns to play the five more?
I think so, because Mitchell Robinson, they say, starting off a little hurt. Now, when he's in there, because, you know, they lost the other big guy that got outbid it to the
Hartenstein to the Thunder.
To the Thunder.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I don't know. I get why. It probably makes, if you get Towns in his best form, I think Towns is a better player than Randall.
More talented, probably. Yeah, can shoot threes.
But that is, I feel like we've been saying this for like 10 years with Towns. If you can get the best version of him. And it's like, maybe he kind of is what he is at this point, which is still very good.
Now, I'm going to tell you what's crazy that someone said, and I didn't think about it. The Jalen Brunson and Carl Towns pick and roll, it will be crazy from who you go with. Because Towns can shoot the ball a lot better than the bigs in New York.
Yes.
And Jalen Brunson has been... on the pick and roll.
I mean, the guy with the ball in his hands is unbelievable right now. I mean, it's really essentially that's like the whole playoff run was just like it was more stylistically pleasing James Harden basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't just free throws; it was unbelievable shot making to go with the ball in your hands. The Atlanta Braves. You just made the list. I'm glad I didn't tell Munz in real time, because then Lindor turned around and hit a two-run shot in the top of the ninth, and the Mets have won game one. So the Mets are for sure into the wild card round. They win 8-7 over the Braves, but now this means that the Braves are going to have to pitch Chris Sale in the winner go home, because if they don't win, then the Diamondbacks would go. So we had lead changes in the top of the seventh, or I beg your pardon, we had a lead change in the top of the eighth, bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth. So we had back-to-back lead changes, and then finally the Mets hang on to win 8-7. So they will for sure be heading on into the wild card round. All right, the NFL. All right, we didn't get to this, but it's still Overreaction Monday, and I wanted to see how you feel, because you're probably feeling better about your Niners after you started to get some guys back yesterday. I would also argue the Patriots make you feel better about your team. Am I insane for thinking this? I don't think the NFL has been that good this year as a watch in terms of entertaining product. And I'm normally the guy that has spent his whole life having to deal with people saying college football is better than the NFL. And I'm just like, then you're not watching. Like, the NFL's a superior football product. But there, how many great games have we had so far? So we had the opening night game. The opening night game between the Chiefs and the Ravens that came down to the last play, a foot or whatever, not even a foot, a toe, being in or out of bounds. That was a great game. But I feel like most of what we're watching are just kind of these, like, we're seeing these massive upsets of these teams that are, like, touchdown plus underdogs winning outright. But to me, like, that has been more of an indictment on the good teams have not been that good. And some people want to point to the style of play, and I think there's probably something to it. We've seen this in college football way more than we've seen it in the NFL, but now it's moved up to the NFL where you have teams that defensively are just trying to limit explosive plays. They're trying to keep it in front of them, and then you tighten up in the red zone and you try to hold to a field goal, which kind of lends itself to it's a lot more running than what you're used to seeing, but it's a lot less big-time explosive plays. But then it kind of just becomes a field goal fest.
Mm-hmm.
Have you felt the same way this year? Or is this... Because like at first I was like, well, I'm not exactly having a wonderful gambling season in the NFL, but I'm not really having a great one either in college. And I still find college at this point, I found it more entertaining on Saturdays than I have Sundays.
You know what? the NFL, I'm not going to say is down like some people right now, Jeff. So with me not being a better, I guess I'm a little bit more excited than y'all, because every time everybody's like, but not just you. I go to my barbershop, my partners at games, coaches, and I'm not as on pins and needles as I guess I'm one of the few people who deep into sports who don't bet. I might need to switch over.
That's a smart move. I would recommend if you can just get into sports without betting, I'd recommend that.
For sure. Yes. So for me, I'm gonna be real with you, Jeffrey. Unlike most of the world, I actually love what's going on. I don't think that the NFL players are that sorry. I don't think the quarterbacks are that sorry. I do think we don't have as many great ones. But I felt for a while it was almost like the way that the disadvantage that the cornerbacks had, I thought it was a joke. Even though it made the marketing better, it made the scores were up, everybody was averaging 35, it felt like I was playing like 2K Blitz or something back in the day.
I mean, you definitely were playing video games. Like, there's no question. Like, it just became like a... I guess, though, if I really felt the defenses were playing great football, I think I'd be there with you. I think it's more of, all right, let's go through how many teams are fun to watch. All right, the Bills didn't look it last night, but they are fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins have been fun to watch, but without Tua, they are a miserable watch. So we've got unwatchable without Tua. The Patriots. Was that a fun watch yesterday? Like, if you just take away the Niners being like getting back to form, but it's like the Patriots' style of play is not fun to watch. The Jets are not fun to watch. Ravens are fun to watch. Bengals are fun to watch. The Browns are an awful watch. I mean, yesterday, I cannot believe, like, at a certain level, like, you get what you pay for if you bet on Deshaun Watson, but it's fourth down and they didn't even get a pass off. Like, how does that even happen? And then they stupidly burn a timeout. Like, that's the thing. They burned a timeout. There's 41 seconds left. It's fourth and three. If you don't get it, you can still conceivably get the ball back because you had all three timeouts. So you could have gotten the ball back with 30 seconds and had another shot. They call timeout to get a play, and Deshaun doesn't even get the throw off. It was like he couldn't believe they blitzed him. It's unbelievable. They're not watchable. The Steelers are exactly like... The Steelers are a well-coached, bad team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they have a great defense, but offensively, like, they're just trying to not lose the game. It's not particularly a fun watch, but if you're a fan of the Steelers, I get it. That's how you play winning football. Like, I'm not dismissing that, but it's not a fun watch. The Titans, not a fun watch. The Jags have not been a fun watch. The Colts could be a fun watch. Did you see... We've had Anthony Richardson get hurt again, but also Flacco came in and was just cooking. Texans are a fun watch when they're not playing the Vikings, but that might be a Vikings thing. Broncos, awful watch. Like, we had the Broncos won yesterday with a quarterback averaging under 2.5 yards an attempt. It's like the first time it's happened in 30-something years. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, but like, there's something even with Mahomes, he's just looked off. Like, it's not that he's been bad, he's looked off. Raiders are not a fun watch, and the Chargers, not a fun watch. The Chargers and the Steelers are kind of in the same thing, where it's like, they have a style of play that's winning football, but it's not a fun watch. It's like, get the game gross, and get it to the fourth quarter, and hope that you can make a play. The Giants are unwatchable. The Commanders are fun.
Yeah.
Commanders are a fun team. The Eagles are not a fun watch, but there's intrigue in the sense of, like, this feels like it could be a dumpster fire. The Cowboys are in this weird, like, they're used to them being a fun watch right now, but, like, now they're kind of having to figure out what they are. It's almost like they're having to try and shorten the games, and they're not a particularly fun watch. Vikings kind of have been a fun watch. Justin Jefferson, that catch he made, did you see the catch in the end zone? Like, literally it was a back shoulder fade because it was the back shoulder of the DB, and he just somehow snagged. It was unbelievable. God, he is amazing. The Bears are not a particularly fun watch. The Lions can be a fun watch. They haven't been as much of a fun watch. The Packers are a fun watch.
Bucks are kind of fun. The Falcons, weirdly, the NFC South's kind of fun, minus the Panthers. I feel like that's kind of the bigger deal. It's like half the league is not really a fun watch, and that feels like that is up more than usual.
No, I'm with you, but I think this still comes down to the quarterbacks are good. But, like, you know, we was talking about earlier, me, you, and John, like, Mel Kiper want to stop.
The Kiper, too.
Why do we want to stop that and these quarterbacks are getting 40, 50? No, I'm just being real. If you say you're the best athlete in the world, it's still 11 against 11. Back in the day, you know, they had to play with that. So my thing is we want to automatically say these people are better than, you know, the Steve Youngs and the Joe Montanas. You know, I'm a 49er guy. And all of this, well, they played with getting their butts knocked off. They played with a lot of things. And for me, I just feel like this is something. You know what? If they do change it, Jeff.
I don't even think there's any. Because to your point, it's not like two high safeties is a new thing.
Yeah.
I think that was an amazing take from Mel Kiper. Like, I viewed that as television. Like, that was beautiful television. But the other thing is, statistically, what it's caused is when you get up on offense and you see two high safeties, you know they've got one fewer guy in the box. We have to be able to run the ball. And so it's kind of just like automatic. You see two safeties, you got to be able to run the ball. Teams that have been taking shots are still, it's still an effective play. It's just there's now an extra safety out there, so you're unable to sit there and move the free safety to one side of the field and take a, like, figure out your one-on-one and take the deep shot. So it's just people being less risk averse. But I think really kind of what it's been is it's still been sloppy, and I think that's largely because teams during training camp don't play that hard. You know, they're not practicing as much. They're not tackling as much. And so it feels like this first month is kind of a figuring it out period. So, like, I'm not down on the NFL, but I am wondering also if, like, this is the NFL's dream in the sense that, okay, the parity league-wide is really wide. So that gets us to the playoffs with anything can happen. Because, I mean, that's the thing. I would still argue right now the Chiefs are still the best team, but, like, the Chiefs feel like they could be 0-4, yet they're 4-0. And so I think that's probably more of what's happening is, like, the talent has dispersed more throughout the league, and so it's not just these three teams can win it. There's probably a handful, you know, realistically in the AFC, Chiefs could win, Bills could win, Ravens could win. I guess the Bengals, but it's like they kind of got to get it together because even the Bengals were giving up. Bengals were giving up points to the Panthers yesterday in kind of an alarming rate. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anyone else really from the AFC.
Maybe the Texans.
Texans could win. I don't have a problem with that.
That might be.
Because people still say the Jets. I still don't believe in the Jets.
I would put the Chargers before the Jets a little bit.
I think we're it. And so, and then in the NFC, someone's going to make the Super Bowl. Like, it's either going to be the Niners or it's going to be someone else. And then at that point, it's one game. Like, the 2007 New York Giants were not better than the 2007 New England Patriots, but it was a one game. And so it opens up the field in the NFC. It's like, even though I don't think these teams are, other than the Niners, these teams aren't as good, someone's going to be there. Like, and I think at a certain point, it's like, I think at this point, the Vikings are telling us that they're more than just, like, this isn't fluky. They're good. Like, that defense is insane. And they have put Sam Darnold in good spots. And he's played well. But I think that's kind of what's been frustrating. It just feels like, and I don't know if maybe this is like an early season problem because preseason hasn't been as meaningful. But I just, like, I'm trying to think, what are the best games that we've seen so far? Like, Sunday night last night. The Sunday night game, Lions-Rams, was a pretty good game. The Rams-Niners fourth quarter was good, but like that was to me like that was more of like the Niners blew it. But like that game wasn't super competitive until it just was in the fourth quarter. Like it just feels like we've had a bunch of like very non-memorable games.
No, I'm with you, Jeff, but and I'm even with because I love it, and I'm a defensive guy, Jeff. And that shows you how powerful the NFL is because the NFL has so much power. Every score can be 3-6. I don't think they will lose a lot of audience.
No.
Like
no, we'll still be there.
Yeah, they'll still be there. But I'm even willing to say with Kiefer, great but foolish point because it's still – it almost reminds me we had a big trial here last weekend. The defense lawyer was pretty good, but it was obvious that the guy – You know,
right. he was doing his job, but yeah.
It was obvious. So I say if we make it fair with the receiver, I mean, they have given the receivers. So I'm going to be real, not to even switch subjects on you, Jeffrey. I respect what the NFL is doing because I feel like we have letting this guy, because of the fans, we have letting the NBA get too out of hand with averaging. I mean, it was games a lot last year. Hey, people hit 130, 140, 120. And but the way they make it where
what was it, the one week where we have like three different guys score 60?
And, you know, I know multiple guys in the NBA, and they like, yeah, but they making it where you really can't even touch it. Do this, do that. I don't enjoy that, Coach. Like, I think Reggie Miller, somebody saying it, like back in the day, you really didn't know. You knew who was the better team, who would win because – You know, games will be 90 to 100, yep. 101 to 03.
I think in the Eastern Conference Finals, one of those Pistons years, like, there was a game in the 70s between the Pacers and the Pacers and the Pistons.
And
the final score.
And I enjoyed it because imagine if Carmelo Anthony and guys like that could play now. You know what I'm saying? Because that messed up to me. Like, even Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
I love Steph Curry, and I do think he's the greatest shooter of all time. But the only reason I can't definitively, and this is going to make me sound like I don't know basketball, say that is because when Reggie Miller and those guys play, you have to play through big man.
Right.
And if you look at his attempts, you got guys taking what he took in sometimes two games in the first half. Guys taking so my thing is, what if Reggie Miller or Ray Allen, which played half-half, or some of these guys took as many shots? I'm not saying they'll be Steph Curry. I think the gap would be a lot smaller, though.
I think you're right on that. I'm
going too far because Steph Curry, the greatest ever.
No. I think that's always the. I though would argue part of the game changing is Steph changing the game
for sure.
But I thought the way they officiated the playoffs last year, that was more of what I was looking for, because you could be physical. Like to me, the sweet spot. And I hate you shouldn't have target scores because let the game play out. But it's like. On average, if the game's played in the low 100s, I think that's allowing teams to get stops. Because I'm with you entirely. It felt like the only way you were getting stops for a while was if they just missed. Like, I do think that you should have the opportunity to make a great defensive play and stop them, other than just having a miss be a stop.
Yeah, I'm good with, like you just said, scores should range between, because these are the NBA players.
They're unbelievably skilled.
And 110, yeah. 105. But I don't want to see 115 and 140. It's not the all-star game. It's ridiculous. And people who really love basketball, you just be like, I watch it when the playoffs come sometime, you know.
Yeah. And I mean.
Or fourth quarter if it stayed
sure.
close.
Like, yeah, we'll just see. We'll turn it on in the last 2 minutes. All right, let's talk some college football. The Hurricanes, of course, got a big win on Friday. Got to get Herd's thoughts on that. Colorado, hey-o. And, of course, we had an outstanding football game in Tuscaloosa. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Program is brought to you by our good friends at Birdies. It's Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf. 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. Birdies has three golf simulators as well as a virtual putting course, full-service bar, and a great menu. And if you're not into playing simulator golf, you can also make Birdies a karaoke location. Simulator 2 is available for karaoke. You can reserve that golf@birdies.com. Also, make sure you check out their membership options. $100 a month will get you 10 hours on the simulators. Normal hour rates or standard hour rates are about $40 per hour, so it's a great discount there. You also get discounts on food and merch, fees waived for league play, tournament play, and events, and much, much more. You can get full details, golf@birdies.com, golf@birdies.com. Also, make sure you follow them on Instagram, @birdies901. All right, Herd, so Friday night, you and I are texting. I'm coming back from the MES game, so I don't see the first half. All I saw was I was keeping up with the score between the Hurricanes and Virginia Tech, and it was one of those spots where the fake field goal happened, and then people started tweeting at me like, you got to see, this was a horrible fake field goal, horrible fake field goal. Well, that was the harbinger of things to come, because we then get the Hail Mary that wasn't or was not. I think the thing that was interesting to me about that game is Cam Ward, I felt like in the first half, was not very good, but then when it came in the entire fourth quarter, every time he got the ball, even when they got down two scores, I just have that belief in him that he's going to go down and score. And to me, like, that's something that's always something I note. When a guy gets the ball, do I believe in him? Like, to me, that was the big story. He got the ball down two scores, and every time punched it in with touchdowns.
Yeah, he was very poised. And I know before the year when we talked, you liked him, but you were scared of his interceptions and stuff.
He can be a little loose with the football.
Yeah, I think he just really showed his poise. I think, now granted, I'm going to say this. I don't think Virginia Tech is bad as their record either, because their quarterback is really good. I think it's
they go as he goes, Kylan Drones. So that was very good, but he's not been great. Like, they lost to Vanderbilt. He wasn't very good, although he was good in the second half. And then he was a little disappointing against Rutgers, but Rutgers might be good. But I agree, they're not. They're maybe not the dumpster fire that I think that some people are thinking, because people had talked themselves into Vatech this year.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know what's crazy? I even made a run at some point, Jeffrey, and I had like four or five people just texting me the eyes. And at first, I got scared, but then somebody saw, oh, it's about football. So I'm wondering now, okay, all is closed.
What is this about?
Yeah. It's closed. Really, so I really, from the second quarter out, and I'm just like, what are we doing? And, man, that became one of the best games. Well, you know, the next night.
Oh, that's the problem. It's like, that was a great finish, and then we got the Alabama game.
Yeah, and the ref, to me, he put himself in trouble, because for everybody who's saying, if it wasn't for us being undefeated, if it wasn't for it being our home, we would have lost. To me, I think you go to the play at the beginning, you couldn't see no clear catch. And then when they pulled us up, like any fumble, we had the ball. So I think the ref put his foot in his mouth, even called it a catch. I think I would have just went to the board, said incomplete. I know you got to say something at first, but to say it was a touch, I think that was the worst out of the three you could say.
So I think you're right in the sense that most of the outrage that I saw was not whether or not that replay got it right. I felt like almost everyone's reaction was similar to this, unless you're a Virginia Tech fan, and then be as mad as you want. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's why we watch sports. I felt like everybody kind of had the same reaction, which is, I think it's incomplete, but I don't know how you see enough to overturn it. And so in college football, everything becomes a massive overreaction. I just wonder, are they going to implement some rule which is, we're not making a call in the field because we're just going to replay? Mm-hmm. Because I think if it was the fact that they called it a touchdown, and like you said, they called it a touchdown after huddling up, and there's no way that you could really tell what did or didn't happen. It was almost like, you know, we see this sometimes in the NBA where they have to make a certain call so that they can go to the monitor and review it. And I know in college football, every play can technically be reviewed. But to me, it was almost like they called it a touchdown. So they were like, okay, we know we're going to replay because scoring plays are reviewed. Mm-hmm. It was like, call it a touchdown and let's go to the monitors. But it wouldn't surprise me to see if they're going to come up with some new distinction of, we don't really have a call, especially late game. We don't have a call. We're just going straight to replay. Like, you put your finger up or whatever. Because I think what most people got upset about was, we've been trained to believe it has to be clear and conclusive evidence or whatever. I guess you could see happen is, they'll get rid of the language of, it's got to be clear and conclusive. Like, that's, they're going to be some type of change, because that's the way we are in college football. We just go completely overreactionary.
I think they should do what you said first, Jeff, because I would just say, let's go to the monitors. Because what happens is, if you don't say the language you've been saying, which they say everywhere, that it got to be clear, now you're going to have a lot more crybabies. So right. I think they say that kind of to say, oh, this point stands, and it got it. And if I don't see a clear change, I must ride with that. You know, and I think that is a hard stance you probably would stick with, because it's a lot of crybabies, and as coaches we are, and this and that.
Well, and then the other thing that I don't want, I'm fine with like late game situations, but what I don't think we need in college football, we don't need more excuses for overtime. I'm sorry, for replay, because the game is already so slow. They're reviewing everything. And I don't want it to be a situation where you are incentivizing officials to never make a call. But, like, I do understand, like, if we want to say, like, in the last, at the end of game situation, to make sure we got the clock right, to make sure we have everything, I'm cool with that, even though I'm not the world's biggest replay guy. All right, so as you mentioned, that was a great game until we then got the Alabama-Georgia game. And this was one of those weird games where, at the end of it, it was thrilling, must watch, and you're like, that was amazing. But can something be a great game that when you spend basically 2 hours going, well, this is boring, Like, this is just a butt kicking one way or the other. The thing that I thought was interesting about it is I weirdly came away feeling a little better about Georgia than I did, simply because Georgia did what Alabama used to do to people, which is on the games where they played like crap and they fell behind multiple scores, they would just kind of keep clawing their way, and get back into it. Now, the difference was I felt like Alabama always like finished the job, and Georgia did not. But like, I was trying to think, like, can something be a great game that is not a great game for basically 2.5 quarters?
You just saw it. But those...
I mean, that fourth quarter was unbelievable.
That quarter and a half made up for some people 10 quarters. It was... I mean, you caught yourself cheering, which these neither one of my both teams, because in one hand, I wanted Georgia to say, we played this horrible.
Yeah.
And we won. I think the only reason I wanted Alabama to win, because it's like, kind of like they new coach.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted...
he makes Milroe way more fun.
Yeah.
Milroe is more fun to watch with Kalen DeBoer than he was with Nick Saban.
And I also felt like he doesn't win that one. It's still a Nick Saban thing hovering. I think that's it. I know they were winning, but I feel like that was the first true win to make the alumni and everybody in the nation say, oh, we, you know, the coach been great forever wherever he's going, but you know how it is when you go to
100%.
You know what time it is.
Yes.
So I feel like.
Oh, he definitely banked a lot of goodwill
on that. And
yeah.
You beating Kirby Smart. I just think it was so big for him.
I'm with you. I think the thing that was the most surprising to me, Alabama clearly had a game plan. They're like, we know if we do a few of these things, Georgia's going to look lost. And they did. Because for the first half, Georgia kind of looked like, it was almost like they looked slow. And you're like, you know those guys aren't slow at Georgia because they wouldn't be there. But they kind of had the eye candy tricks early. And that like hit the big home run punches, and then Georgia couldn't quite figure it out. But the thing was, despite four turnovers, I just kind of left thinking, if Georgia played again, I bet Georgia would be favored even again.
You think so?
Yeah, because it felt like, and Alabama gets all the credit. Like, you play the game.
That 17-year-old wide receiver.
But it's like they hit Alabama kind of. They hit their big scheme shot plays, but like you saw, as the game went on and on and on, and like the Georgia made the adjustments, Georgia was, I felt like at times, the better team. But that's the other thing about Kalen DeBoer. I suspect the next time that they play, he'll have even more tricks.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Like, that's what he does.
What is Georgia quarterback name again?
Carson Beck.
I'm going to be real with you. Him and Texas quarterback Ewan. Is
Quinn Ewers.
Ewers. A lot of people have them as the top two quarterbacks. I never want to down a kid from a performance, but Georgia quarterback is not a top five quarterback to me anymore. Scared, and at one point Alabama really could have killed. They missed it.
He was throwing
it into and I'm looking at him like, and I felt sorry for him. It's worldwide national game. I don't want anybody.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this, you know, we signed up for this. These grown men.
He has a Lamborghini. I don't feel bad for him. Like, literally, he is a college senior with a Lamborghini.
Yeah. I think he's an NFL player, maybe even first rounder. But there's no way I could put him, and I know the competition is hard. I can't put him in front of, you know, I can't put him in front of Shadur. I can't put him in front of Cam.
Only thing that I would say that I don't know the answer, because I'm with you. In the first half, you felt like you were watching the Monday Night Football game when Sam Darnold said, I'm seeing ghosts. The only thing that I want to at least give him the benefit of the doubt, I don't think the receivers were... Like, I think one of those interceptions, I think the receiver ran the wrong route. Like, it was an adjustment based on a blitz. Mm-hmm. He runs the wrong route. I think some of their struggles were guys not being on the same page, because he did... As he's like settled in and they settled in, he started to look good. My problem with this whole draft is, as someone who's probably got a team that's going to be picking a new quarterback, I just don't love this draft class.
Yeah.
I'm not sold really on anybody. Because even like the guy I'm most closely sold on is Quinn Ewers. He's been hurt every year. Like, And all of a sudden in the NFL, he's just not? Like, that seems...
Or they hit harder.
That seems unlikely to me. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, for today's Tell Your Story, of course, it's NBA Media Days, and you may have forgotten that Ben Simmons is still in the NBA. Well, he is indeed, and he's also reminding people that, quote, I think people forget me as a player when I'm healthy. I'm pretty good, right? I don't know, Ben. You tell us. Like, are you going to play? Like, you know, it seems. He's so like out of sight, out of mind. But he claims he's on a revenge tour, so I think also it's a contract year for him. That might be why he's talking. Herd, appreciate you, buddy. Want to thank Jason Munns for joining the program as well. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Herd, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.